Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to dominate your fantasy football league. FF Toolbox presents The Takeover with the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
One more lineup to set in 2016. I won't be setting any. My co-host, my partner, my main man won't be setting any. But hopefully you'll be setting some in holiday edition of The Takeover as I slide into the garage, try to get you ready for a bang-up week 16. Chris, I got a couple notes written down right here. As far as some things we'll talk about over the course of the next hour, we'll get into, try to get through some of or most of the game action, touch on some injury situations, but let's just kick it off right off at the top. But it's not even on the top of my list because we've talked about it so much the past couple of days. But if you're an Odell Beckham Jr. owner, boy, I say you really have to be. The guy who brought you here, he brought owners there last year, brought owners there again this year, and this year, week 16, the week where you need him most, he leaves you on the doorstep.
Yeah, Core, that's actually that's where we should have started right there. That's the biggest topic of the week. And Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Sorry about the schedule and conflicts. Me and Corey, we're traveling and everything. But we're here for you now, Saturday, getting into championship week. And Merry Christmas to you, Corey.
No doubt. Merry Christmas, brother.
And you know what? This Odell Beckham thing, man, this is your first-round draft pick. And you didn't even lose him to injury, you know, like everyone else lost their players to injury this year. But you go and get your guy suspended. You lost him to stupidity. Your first-round draft pick. You're going for a championship this week. And how are you going to do it with your wide receiver, without your wide receiver one, your guy, and he's got a great matchup, too. The Vikings secondary's been had, you know, for the last half of the season. You know, it's been a good matchup against the Vikings secondary. So, you know, you're probably canceling out a 7-for-110 and a touchdown type game from your wide receiver one. And, you know, if you're in a head-to-head matchup, maybe you can get around it somehow if you have good wide receiver depth. But, you know, I'm thinking about all these guys that are going for the overall championships in high-stakes leagues this week. And I saw a lot of Odell Beckham teams. And you know what? That's a big kick in the you-know-where trying to go for a big check this week without your big stud receiver, Corey.
No doubt. And I agree with you right there. And when it comes time to talk about, you know, ads and replacements and stuff like that for Beckham, it really is not out there. You're in a home league, you can get a chance to hit the waiver wire before your championship matchup. Name that I've been saying all week, and it's a 100% shot in the dog, is Roddy White.
Oh, Jesus, no. Please, Corey.
No, you can't. You can't
Please,
even do
don't
it.
Don't bring him up. No, no, I can't. There's no way I'm going with Roddy White in week 16 after 15 duds. You know? You're going to have to get me. You're going to have to get me to try and rely on someone else. Let's look at the two in-house options, Corey. But, you know, if you got waiver pickups and maybe Reuben Randall's available, who Reuben Randall's a bum, don't get me wrong, but, you know, that's who I've been hearing a lot of. You know, if you go to Reuben Randall, he'll be heavily targeted this week. Dwayne Harris is even banged up for the Giants. So they really don't have much left. If you're going to take the shot on Reuben Randall, then, you know, sit there and pray. But he should be targeted about 10 times, you know, so Eli will be looking for him all day. But the guy that I like the most in this Giants offense with Odell out is the tight end, Will Tye. He's been coming on pretty strong. And if you have three other good receivers and you, you know, you can maybe flex out a Will Tye, this week, I think he could put up a nice six, 80 yards and a touchdown type game for the Giants.
Yeah, I agree. I think Will Tye is the premier option to go for in the New York Giants office. You know, our guy Jason Braddock has been talking about Will Tye since the preseason. Loves his skill set, things he can do. We've seen the targets go up. I think over five targets 4 weeks in a row now. And I think he did have a good shot at the touchdown this week. And like you said, a matchup that is start of the season, not
I'll
a good
you
matchup
what.
Against the Vikings secondary.
Yeah, Corey, I'll tell you what. You know, he's been filling in nicely for me. I have a team in the online championship. It really doesn't have a chance to cash a big check, you know, because I'm too far behind. But it was a nice team all year long. And Tyler Eifert was my tight end. And before the playoffs started, I said, let me back him up with Will Tye because my other backup tight end got hurt. And I've been rolling with Will Tye these last couple of weeks in place of Eifert, and I'm sure a lot of other people have too in replace of Eifert. So he's been a nice late-season add at the tight end position, and not only for the Odell Beckham people, but for the Tyler Eifert owners. Will Tye, nice play this week.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree. Will Tye is one of the top plays. Speaking of chasing down big checks this week, is there any player outside of Antonio Brown that you would rather have on a team gunning for it all than David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals?
Absolutely not, Corey. Those are the two names right there. Two names that I want on my team going into Week 16 to win a big check, and it's Brown at the wide receiver position, David Johnson at the running back position.
No doubt, agree with you 100% on that one. Those are the two guys right there. And if you have those guys, you're in good shape, of course. Plenty of good options
at quarterback.
That game
was ridiculous. Corey, let's talk real quick about that game last week with Antonio Brown, Corey. I mean, that's video game numbers that he put up. And not only did he put video game numbers up, that wasn't an easy matchup at all versus the Denver Broncos secondary. And
not at all.
I think – No, and what I wanted to say about it, I think this cements Antonio Brown as the number one overall pick in next year's fantasy draft to the point where I think it'll be like close to what Tomlinson was about six, 7 years, you know, back in the day. I think he's a lock, number one overall pick next year.
Yeah, I think he goes into 2016 as the consensus number one player in fantasy football. Big Ben healthy. The targets are going to be there. The receptions are going to be there. The overall dominant play from Antonio Brown continues. This is his second year in a row after being wildly underrated the year before that. Now we have 2 years in a row of Antonio Brown being number one option in fantasy football. Of course, his buddy Le'Veon Bell locks in as a first-round running back, in my opinion, again next year in PPR league. Other than that, if they have running back in the first round in 2016, because of what we saw this year, it looks pretty bleak. But I would say Bell, Gurley, or first-round guys next year.
Yeah, and you know what? This came up last week on a radio show I was doing, Corey, and, you know, I think Adrian Peterson has worked himself back into that conversation. I think early in the year, everybody's like, this was the last year as a first-rounder. The Le'Veon Bell situation is going to be, if he's healthy, or you know, if by August comes around and he's back in camp, and he's getting back into shape and everything's looking good, then he'll be a first-rounder. But even Gurley was a lock. I thought he'd be a top-three overall pick, you know, as of 6 weeks ago. But this last month, really, he slowed down. But I still think he's a first-round lock next year as well. So I think those three, a lot of people have thrown out Devontae Freeman's name. I think Devontae Freeman has C.J. Anderson bust type next year written all over him, honestly. I don't think he's a superstar, so I would stay away from him. I don't think he's a first-rounder. Do you agree with those three, AP, Bell, and Gurley would be the only three running backs you'll see in first round next year?
Interesting to see what happens with the coaching situation and the quarterback situation in St. Louis. I think those are going to be some storylines we watch throughout the course of the offseason. Another storyline to watch in the course of the offseason is going to be plenty. But where's Adrian Peterson going to end up at? A lot of people believe that this is his last year in Minnesota. So Adrian Peterson could very well be looking for a new home in the offseason. So a lot of the things that go on in the offseason have something to do with it. Even look at the situation with Odell Beckham Jr. Let's just say the Giants you know, I think Tom Coughlin's time in New York is done. Let's say the Giants go out there and bring in a Sean Payton, then, of course, you feel good about Odell. But if they don't bring in a Sean Payton, they go with a more defensive-minded coach because the Giants' struggle seems to be on the defensive end of the ball. You can have a situation where maybe, you know, coaching changes really affect a lot of these players and where they go in drafts.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's going to be interesting, you're right, to see who the Giants bring in, because you got to remember the Giants just brought in this new offensive coordinator from Green Bay last year. And now that, you know, the offensive side of the ball, Eli's in a groove. I don't think at 36 years old, when Eli will be next year, he wants to start over with a new playbook, a new, you know, an offense and everything like that. So there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the Giants just making their offensive coordinator, you know, their head coach when they fire Coughlin. I don't know if he's ready for that. I don't know if they'll hire a new head coach with the intent to say, listen, you know, you're the new head coach and you pick your defensive coordinator, but we're not touching the offensive coordinator and the offensive side of the ball. And that's, you know, pretty much a caveat to hiring the new head coach. But either way, you're right with what you said. And on that, I think the top 3 or 4 overall picks next year in fantasy drafts are going to be receivers. And I think Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham will be the 1, 2, and 3 off the board in fantasy drafts next year.
I agree with you 100% on that one. I want to touch back on a Giants situation real quick. Do you think they fire Coughlin? Do you think they maybe sit him down and say, listen, it's time for you to resign, let's end this thing on a mutual agreement? Or do you think it's a situation where Coughlin is promoted and maybe he goes more to a consulting role, or do you think they just let him go all together?
They'll do is, you know, you see it all the time when you have respected head coaches. They'll say, listen, Tom, you know, you're done here, but we don't want to fire you, so just step down. And if he says no, then they got to do, you know, then they're going to, you
then
know,
they,
fire
yeah.
him. So,
As a New York Giants fan, I think you would agree.
Yeah, oh, no, he's gone. There's no doubt about it. He has a zero chance, Corey, of being done. The you know, Mara's already said early in the season, if we don't make the playoffs, you know, pretty much he's gone, you know. So, and he's been real quiet these last couple of weeks ever since they lost their couple games, and they're pretty much out of it now, even though they have a slimmer of hope depending on the Eagles-Redskins game, you know, tonight. If the Eagles win that game tonight, you know, it's going to be a crazy week 17, because the Giants are at home versus the Eagles. If they win that game, then your Cowboys control Tom Coughlin's fate, maybe, because the Redskins will be playing the Cowboys in Dallas. And listen, these four teams in the NFC East, they all suck. You know, none of them are good, so any of them could be beat on any given day when they play each other. And who knows, but that would be interesting. I hope Philly wins that game tonight as a Giant fan, obviously, just to see a good Week 17 scenario where all three teams are tied. Cowboys actually play a role.
Now, you know what's so interesting? My brother-in-law, who I'm in his garage right now, is a big-time Philadelphia Eagles fan. Now, he's also a Golden State Warrior fan, so he's kind of turned a blind eye to the Philadelphia Eagles right now. I don't care attitude. I'm rolling with the Warriors. I'm painting the Vans blue, and I'm driving all over the country to see Steph Curry. But honestly speaking, though, speaking to him about this game last night, this is not confirmed. This is the third year in a row where Washington and Philadelphia has played on a Saturday night in Week 13. Each and every year, the Philadelphia Eagles were getting ready for a playoff run, and they lost to Washington. Last year, they lost to Washington and knocked them out of the playoffs. The year before that, it slowed them down from getting a higher seed. It's only fitting that once again, here we go on a Saturday night in Week 16, that the Philadelphia Eagles have turned favorite to Washington and knocked them off. Nobody in the NFL is higher than Kirk Cousins right now. Nobody really dare say is playing better football than Kirk Cousins right now. Everybody going to Cousins in DFS this week, and I do think Deshaun Jackson is an excellent DFS player this week. But you know what? Something tells me Cousins drops a dud and the Eagles go in there and get this win.
I agree. I see it the same way. I really do. Washington beat Philly in Washington, right, earlier in the year. I like Philly to come back at home and win this game tonight versus the Redskins. I totally agree with what you're saying.
Interesting situation that could set up possibly for Week 17, Chris, with Dallas and Kellen Moore home for Washington and Kirk Cousins. When Dallas was 1-15,
yeah,
they beat Washington. Some of Washington's worst seasons, the only team they beat was Dallas. This is how the NFC East plays out, especially this time of year. I would not be shocked at all if Washington dropped these last two games did not make the playoffs, because Dallas is going to be ready to knock Washington out of the playoffs last week, no matter who the quarterback is.
Oh, Dallas will play that game like it's a playoff game, without a doubt. And let me ask you this while we're talking about it. Do you like the kid Kellen Moore as a Cowboys fan? You like him or no?
I think you get Kellen Moore these last two opportunities to see what you have in Kellen Moore. Obviously, the Cowboys become a quarterback situation where you have to carry three guys. So you figure you have to carry Romo. You have to draft a quarterback, and the draft class is similar to 1984 and to the great class of Rivers, Manning, Eli, that is, and Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that's not happening again this year. I don't see any big-time college quarterbacks coming out, and I don't think Dallas would draft one early anyway with Romo on the books for a while now. I mean, Romo's got a big contract.
He is on the books for a couple more years. So, the Paxton Lynch's and the Braxton Miller's, everyone, what I've seen in some of my early draft prep, you know, NFL draft prep, is 3 to 4 quarterbacks with first-round grades. Or you think that shakes out throughout the course of the combines and the senior bowls and stuff like that, to where that number drops down to maybe 1 or 2 first-round quarterbacks?
That always happens. You know, everybody going into the season, they want to say, give a quarterback, this guy's going to be a top-10 pick. And then you know what? The season's over, and the guy becomes a fourth-rounder. I forget the quarter. I wish I could remember the quarterback that happened to last year. But after his, like, junior year, just say, he was like, oh, if he comes out, he's a top-5 pick. And then this past year, he was like a third-round quarterback. You know, like, it completely – like, look at the kid Cardale Jones from Ohio State. You know, the big kid that won them the championship last year. He didn't even start, like, this year. Well, I mean, he did eventually, but he's a backup now. Like, they said after that championship run, if he came out last year, he was going to be a top-10 pick. Everybody was calling him Byron Leftwich. You know, not that Byron Leftwich was good back in the day, but, you know, size and mobility like that. The guy, how is he going to be a top-10 overall pick now? He doesn't even play. So,
he doesn't play. And when he does play, it's rare that he's quarterback and he's doing other things to help the Youngstown boys on the field. So it's going to be an interesting season. But, no, honestly, the Cowboys, they need – listen, Washington has hit – Robert Griffin III, they hit him for the whole season. Maybe they know that this guy is good, and they think if somebody's going to bite on this kid, he's no good. Or maybe they just don't want people to see how good he really still can be. Do you think Robert is a player that, with the right coaching, can come into a backup role and possibly be a guy that can move the sticks and put up some numbers next year? Or do you think this is a situation where Washington is hiding this kid, knowing that they can cut him and somebody to go and jump on him, and this guy is really truly done?
You know, I with RG3, I don't think he's ever going to be really good. But when you talk about, are there the right situations for him? Yeah, and I look right over on the other side of the ball tonight. Like, don't you think that if RG3 could ever, get his career going again, it would be in, like, a Chip Kelly type of offense? Like a little bit of a running quarterback and, the play action passes and the bootlegs and everything like that. Would you think an RG3 would be successful in an offense like that? Because that's really the only offense. He's not a pro style NFL quarterback, so that's not, you know, most teams are like that. He's not going to be successful in an offense like that. So he's got to pick and choose his spots. And, you know, if, you know, like the Niners with Harbaugh when he was the coach and Kaepernick, like an offense like that, an offense like Chip Kelly's, that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't see how else RG3 could, you know, turn his career around again. But maybe Dallas gets him in the offseason. You know, Washington's probably just holding him hostage, and they want to try and get a draft pick out of him. But, you know, they're probably going to get, like, maybe a sixth-round draft pick for him in the offseason. They're not going to bring him back again, that's for sure, especially now that they like Kirk Cousins.
For him to be there. Yeah, they have to cut him. And I think it's a mistake for them to give Kirk Cousins big money in this offseason, too, because Kirk Cousins hasn't beat a team with a record over 500. Don't get me wrong, in this Jay Gruden's quarterback-friendly system, and Kirk Cousins is playing nice against poor competition this year, though.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins guy either. I don't think he's the long-term answer. I think he's an average NFL quarterback. You know, there's a lot of garbage at the NFL quarterback position right now. Worse than I've ever seen, Corey. Worse than I've ever seen. So he's average, you know, and I guess they're jumping on that because they haven't had a good quarterback in so long. They're like, you know what, this is probably the best we've had for a while, so we'll just keep rolling with him until we find something better. But do you think RG3 would be successful in another type of system, or he just would fail on everything and he's done?
You want to think that this thing wasn't a total, complete, 100% fluke. I mean, what they did a couple of years ago, it looked like they had a team that was going to be in competition for the NFC East for the next 10 years, and a team that's going to be playing deep into the season trying to win Super Bowls because of how dynamic he was. But coming off that second ACL injury, does not look like the same player. But by the same token, something says to me that this is a player who has lost complete confidence, and he needs a new start, a fresh start. He's a new look. I know people that know him, the man personally. And Washington was a bad place for him to be from the jump. And then the whole hopes and dreams of that franchise was placed on this kid's shoulders. You wanted to believe that Mike Shanahan was the guy who did him in. Well, that can't really be the case because Jay Gruden hates him too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bad spot for him. He's got to get out of there immediately, and he will. But he's, he had so much success right off the bat his rookie year, and everybody was anointing him the next Jesus. And, he's been doing his Subway commercials and everything like that. It's just, the wheels fell off, the injury to his, you know, his ACL, everything. It's been a complete mess. I don't know if he ever gets his career turned around again, Corey, but if he did, I would lose money on that.
Last season, in the middle of the year, they were in the Meadowlands playing the Giants. And before the half, Robert Griffin scrambled and ran the ball into the end zone, crossed the plane in the goal line. Before he hit the ground, he lost control of the ball. It was a touchdown on the field. Flag was thrown by Tom Coughlin. They challenged it. The touchdown was overturned. He was never the same player after that play. He has never been the same player after that. You remember that play?
I remember that play, yeah. I absolutely remember that play.
That play right there, I think, because they were playing good that game. Could have gave him a spark, could have given him some hope going into the half. That touchdown taken off the board, he may not have scored a touchdown since then. That's how bad it's been for Robert Griffin III.
Yep.
But speaking about quarterbacks and making a splash and coming onto the scene right quick, having a conversation on the radio program the other morning about Derek Carr. And is Derek Carr a QB, a fantasy QB one in 2016? Chris, I take the question and I ask it to you. Derek Carr, a QB1 in 2016, you say Andrew Luck, you say Aaron Rodgers, of course you put Cam Newton in the mix. Tom Brady obviously goes into that. Carson Palmer comes back for another year. I think Tony Romo is the guy that you draft over him. Can't really – Peyton Manning's days as a fantasy quarterback are done.
Russell Wilson will be another one.
Russell Wilson is definitely another one. Would you say Phil Rivers?
Depending on what comes back around him and if the coaching staff doesn't change, yes. He's a definite QB1. You got to throw Eli in there as a QB1. Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, obviously.
Yeah, so that's right there. And then Blake Bortles is, to me, over Carr. And right there, that's 11 right there. So does, you know, to be fair about a QB1, I think I got him right there, right at that 11, 12, 13 mark. So my answer to that would be he's a borderline QB1. I think he's the answer to the question if you want to draft,
yeah,
you know.
Ben Roethlisberger, so that's 12 right there.
Oh, Jesus.
12.
We left Big Ben out? Well, there you go. That's 12.
We left
so,
Big Ben
I mean,
out. We left Stafford out. I guess we
nah, –
would you – Kirk
you know,
Cousins or David Carr?
I would take Carr over Stafford next year, and I would take Carr over Cousins easily. So Carr is right there. He's a borderline QB1. He's the quarterback next year that you build your team around the running backs, receivers, tight ends, and he's probably going to be sitting there in about the 9th round, 10th round, 11th round area. You know, all the guys that like to wait on quarterback, and you go all in on Carr, and, you know, there you have it. Now, if he takes the next step next year in his third season, and it is his third season, right, next year?
Yeah, it'd be his third season.
Yeah, third year. I'm thinking in my head, is it fourth? No, it's third. And, you know, that's one of the guys. He winds up stepping up and being a top six quarterback next year. I like his weapons. They re-signed Crabtree, you know, a couple weeks ago. Amari Cooper, I think, is going to be a stud, you know, a stud top 10 wide receiver one in fantasy for years to come. So they have that. If they give him one more option in the pass game, you know, whether they bring in a nice tight end in the offseason or draft one or get a nice slot receiver, something like that, I think Carr is definitely a guy you could take a shot on next year, build your team around in the other positions, wait on quarterback, and he's the answer to that question right there. So I like him.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick like comes back as a starter with Chan Gailey, I think I like Chan. I think I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's a close call for me right there. With Chan Gailey, Brandon Marshall, and Eric Decker, though.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, listen, it's real early how we're talking about this, obviously, but I love talking about next year, always, especially after the year
that's
that
we have.
Had.
That's
but,
all we have left, Chris.
But you know what?
Kind of all we got.
Here's what I'm talking about. Marshall, going into next year, I'll tell you right now, I'll be off Brandon Marshall next year. I really will. Now, I might be dead wrong on that one. He's going to be 33 years old next year, I think, 34.
Coming off a season where he's effectively going to play 16 games, that he played 32 games in a row.
Now, that might sound crazy to other people listening right now, but when I get an older wide receiver coming off of a great year that stayed healthy, and, you know, even though he's been healthy every week, Corey, you hear something's wrong with him. Oh, his foot hurts, his hammy, is this. Even though he's played every game, literally Brandon Marshall's been, like, you know, questionable during the week leading up to the games a lot of the time. So he's got these nicks and bruises. He's had injuries in the past. Sooner or later, it's going to be catching up with him. The receiver that, you know, he's going to move up. He was a fourth-round fantasy draft pick this year, Corey. I guarantee you see Brandon Marshall in the 20s next year. Do you agree with that? I think he's one of those guys that'll be in the second or third tier.
Listen, I got burned with Marshall this year because I wanted to get off of Marshall a year early. Marshall, a player, I'm always on Brandon Marshall. Love his competitiveness, love the way he plays. Big body, PPR wide receiver. Got off him this year thinking that was going to be the year that injuries were really going to catch up to him. It didn't work out that way.
Right.
I'm not going to go back to him next year, the year older.
Yeah. I actually liked him, and I wanted him this year, and I remember getting snaked for him. I remember getting screwed for him a couple picks each time in some high-stakes drafts and going in different directions. But if he was on the board, I did want him as my wide receiver 3. I missed out on him. Unfortunately, I didn't think he'd have this great of a season, but he did. But where do you see him next year in fantasy drafts?
I think he goes in the 3rd, 4th round guy. And I just can't touch. I just gotta stay away from it. It's players that when the situation shakes out, I'm quite sure Brandon Marshall is going to be a guy that I'm going to be leaving on the board. Speaking of wide receivers, I want to throw a name out at you, and I think it's going to surprise you where he is ranked at in 2015, fantasy stats-wise. Doug Baldwin.
Doug Baldwin. This year, where he's ranked?
Where is he right now?
He's got to be top 10.
He is wide receiver 7 right now in fantasy.
And he's done it all in 4 weeks.
And he did it, he did it in a month. He went from wide receiver 27 to wide receiver 7 in a month. The CO team is starting to get hot. And it's not Jimmy Graham. It is Russell Wilson, who is another guy who was off to a slow start this year. People were talking about his lifestyle off the field, saying that he's become a celebrity quarterback. And when they get towards the time where it's time to start winning, he flips the switch. And him and Doug Baldwin all of a sudden are one of the top duos in fantasy.
This has been one of the most amazing things I've seen in football in a while, Corey, about how Russell Wilson was terrible pretty much the first couple months of the season fantasy-wise. And now in these last 4 or 5 games, he has 19 touchdown passes to 0 interceptions in the last five. And I think Baldwin's caught all 19 pretty much. But Baldwin has 11 touchdowns?
He has 11 touchdowns.
10
of them have been in the last month.
Yeah. I mean, it's really amazing. And I don't know how all these people had him on their team, but you know what? I see Doug Baldwin at the top of the leaderboard as one of their wide receivers, and they're just riding the Doug Baldwin train. And as bad as Russell Wilson was all year long, he's on so many championship teams. I don't know how they got to the championship rounds with Russell Wilson. Maybe they rode a backup quarterback and now switched to Russell Wilson this last month. But you see a lot of Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin combinations. That's pretty much, that's when it's been winning people championships. That's going to win people championships is this combination, if they can pull it off one more time this week. But every week, Russell Wilson, 4 or 5 touchdown passes, and Doug Baldwin's catching 2 or 3 of them.
This week they get the Rams at home. The Rams have been a little bit stouter on defense, but for the most part, the Seattle Seahawks hit their groove right now. They're doing what they want to do. Now, I tell you what, a Seahawks at the 6th seed against let's put the Seahawks as the 5th seed. They'll be the 5th seed against a 4 seed NFC East champion. So they'll go on the road, knock off the NFC East champion. Sets them up to go right into Carolina to face a possibly undefeated Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, and that is probably the worst-case scenario for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
Absolutely. The Panthers don't want to see that at all, but the Seahawks are going to be playing hard these last 2 weeks because there's a big difference between being the 5 seed, going into a Washington, just say, wiping them off the map real quick with their experience, and then facing Carolina. If Seattle, costs up one of these last couple games, they drop to the 6th seed maybe, and you got to go into Lambeau and play Aaron Rodgers in the first round. So huge difference between that and playing in Washington and Kirk Cousins. And then on top of it, they would avoid Cam Newton if they did that. But
the irony of the Seattle Seahawks going into Washington as a 6th seed to place a 4th seed Redskin team. Of course, you think back to Robert Griffin III tearing his ACL. Here we go. We've come full circle a few years later. Right. Seattle goes into Washington, this time to face Kirk Cousins. Interesting. No, Seattle and Washington played in the playoffs at least in the last 10 years. They played in the playoffs at least 3, maybe 4 times, including, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was a game where one of the members of the Seahawks spit on Sean Taylor. I think that was about 10 years or so ago also.
Okay. I think I remember Washington playing in Seattle a playoff game.
Washington knocked them off one time.
I can't remember that one, but I do obviously, now that you brought it up, that's crazy. A couple of years. And that's obviously recent. That was Russell Wilson and RG3's rookie year. When RG3 tore his ACL right there on the field, and then You know, the Redskins offensive lineman slapped Richard Sherman at the end of the game with his helmet off.
Oh, you remember that? Yeah, they slapped Richard Sherman at the end of the game. That was a few years ago, and here you go back and see the crime. And now, if you would have said 2 or 3 years later that game would be Kirk Cousins as the starting quarterback and Russell Wilson would have a bowl appearances under his belt, you would not believe that. But that is how the ball turns. But definitely Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, as they have been kind of just rolling through the regular season, celebrating while the game is still going on and stuff like that. The celebrations will stop when they see that playoff seed. Yeah, they go undefeated in the regular season. And you know what? It would be interesting to see who would be a favorite in a Seattle-Carolina division round playoff game in Carolina.
If Carolina is still undefeated, well, I mean, regardless, just say they're undefeated and they have the bye week, and that second week Seattle is in Carolina. Carolina will be a 3-point favorite for the home field, an undefeated Carolina team at home versus Seattle. I think Carolina will be a field goal favorite in that game, but that would be interesting. I'll tell you what, just talking off the record with fantasy in real-life NFL this year, I think the my pick these last couple weeks to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC was the Arizona Cardinals. I really started believing in this team. I loved everything about them on both sides of the ball. The Cardinals losing Tyrann Mathieu was a huge, huge hit. I could have saw them going to the Super Bowl, going into Carolina in the NFC Championship game and beating Carolina. That's a big hit now. So I don't know who's coming out of the NFC, but that'll be interesting to watch. Who knows, man? We might be sitting here a month from now, Corey, with Carolina being undefeated in the Super Bowl, playing the last team that went into a Super Bowl undefeated and being the Patriots.
Yep. Now, here's the thing with that, of course, playscoutfantasy.com. Head on over there right now. Got playoff leagues going on all day from December 29th all the way up until January 9th. Get involved with a playoff draft, 45-minute draft, pick players throughout the playoff team, set your roster. 16 leagues, $500 for the league winner, of course. And also the $20,000 grand prize. Me and Chris will also be competing in some of those competitions, so make sure you all head over to Play Scout Fantasy right now and get involved with that. And the reason why I bring that up, because there's so much strategy in going into handicapping these contests. Chris, I think, to be honest with you, I personally think that we could see a situation in the division round of the playoffs, could even be on the same day, where New England and Carolina lose, because I think a team that New England has dominated, especially in the playoffs, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers is time enough for the New England Patriots this year.
Yeah, everyone's talking about this, Corey. Everyone thinks that in the AFC, the only team that could beat the Patriots, especially now with Dalton's injury in Cincinnati and the Broncos' quarterback mess, you can't like them. But with Pittsburgh, everyone's picking Pittsburgh as their sleeper pick to go to the Super Bowl, and it's understandable. But I sit back and I say, you know what? If you give me Edelman back healthy, Amendola back healthy, and Gronk healthy, obviously, if you give me all the Patriots' weapons healthy in 4 weeks from now, which is what they're going to need.
In a home game.
And a home game. I love Pittsburgh's offense, don't get me wrong, but they're going to have to score 40-plus because Brady and that offense at home versus that Steelers secondary, that's 40-plus right there. I'm sorry. With their experience, I mean, Roethlisberger is going to have to really have the game of his life. And don't get me wrong, they can because this is one of the best offenses we've seen in a while with Brown and Bryant and Wheaton. But don't dismiss Brady and Belichick's determination because these guys are psychos and they're going to be hearing the same thing. Oh, the Steelers could come into New England and beat them and score a ton of points. So can the Patriots because the Patriots' defense is a lot better than the Steelers' defense. And then when you look at their offenses, they're both going to be the top two offenses in the playoffs. So
not to mention,
you're looking at
as good as Pittsburgh.
You're looking at a 48-41 game there.
As good as Pittsburgh has looked at times this season, especially when Ben Roethlisberger has been healthy, Pittsburgh is not Baltimore. A healthy Baltimore team playing well down the stretch is a time for the New England Patriots. A healthy Pittsburgh team
The Patriots have dusted him off with no problem. It could be a little bit different this year, but that'll wait to be seen. Want to get back into some fantasy news right quick. Dez Bryant, doubtful. Don't have to worry about that this week, it looks like. What are you doing if you're a Drew Brees owner this week?
Oh, my God, panicking. Panicking. And I think he's going to play. He said he's going to play, Corey. So that's like the latest news as of yesterday. He says he'll play. But, I mean, listen, he's not a running quarterback anyway. So he's got the plantar fasciitis there, which Peyton Manning has either. But, you know, they don't run either anyway. But you got to worry. I mean, the matchup is great. It's the top game of the week in terms of fantasy. The number's high. The you know, Vegas has a total at 51, 52. It should be a shootout in the dome. If he plays, he's obviously your guy. But you know what? It's a 4 o'clock start, you got to remember. And that's trouble. Unless they say it early that he's definitely playing, you have a situation on your hands. I'll just tell you something real quick. It's funny. There's the guy going for the $150,000 this week. He's second overall. It's pretty much a two-team race. His two quarterbacks are Drew Brees and Marcus Mariota. He loses Mariota last week, and now Drew Brees is 50-50. He's going for $150,000 this week, and he might not have a quarterback. Imagine how crazy that is.
It's a crazy feeling, and that is the kind of year that has been so far this season. I know you're probably looking at the National Fantasy Football Championship standings. Well, I wanted to ask you about that right quick. Our guy, James Lovelace, I think I had a conversation with him briefly this week. I feel like I remember him saying that he was in the final 12 for the cut line. How's he doing in the main events over at the NFFC?
James Lovelace is having one of the best seasons someone can have. He's right now having an unbelievable year. He qualified a lot of his teams. He's actually dominating the New York Super that I was in. He's probably going to take my title from me. I'm going to be handing that over to him. He's got a big lead. He won the points and record race in the New York Super. He cashed that check. And now he's going to probably cash that check, the championship check, this week. He's got a team in the running for the $150,000. He's got a team. He qualified in that cut line. Like you said, he's one of the final 12 teams overall for the $80,000 check. Just having a huge year. He's a great player. Between him, the two names that stand out to me the most this year in high stakes, Corey, that are having unbelievable seasons is your guy, Mike Santos. He's at the top of the leaderboard and everything, the FFWC, NFFC, just having a great year, and James Lovelace. And then, of course, you know, you got your Chad Schroeder, who's everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, when you use 26 teams, you shouldn't be able to flunk one through. 26 in FFWC.
26 times 5.
I think the FFWC this year had 26 main events. I think he was in all 26 main events.
He was. He had 20 something teams. I had the one FFWC I got involved this year, and he was in my league. So there you know. And then I looked around.
He was in both of my leagues too. Matter of fact, the league that I did live with him, he was in the league and had teams in every table going on. So he was there live drafting with us, but had a team in every other table.
Unbelievable. That really is.
It really is unbelievable.
And I laugh, too, because I look at the leaderboard, you know, during the year, and, you know, he has, like, the Roman numerals next to his teams, and, like, the Roman numerals are like Super Bowls, you know? Like, that's true. 23, Chad Schroeder, 21. It's crazy. He manages over 100 teams, and it's crazy. He did it in football. He's having another great season. Honestly, he's you know, at the top of, he's got multiple teams in every leaderboard right now. But even in baseball this past year, I was a top 10 overall team for most of the year. And it was me, two other guys, and he had 7 teams out of the top 10 in baseball. So it was
– Yeah.
I was fighting 7 Chad Schroeder teams in baseball. It was crazy. But, hey, what are you going to do? You got to beat them. You got to beat them.
You're a Drew Brees owner, and you have Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, and Teddy Bridgewater.
That's a great question, Corey. That's tough, buddy. That's
There's somebody
tough.
Out there that has that situation right now.
You're right. You're 100% right, and that's a tough situation because obviously I know what we're saying here is, do you say to yourself, all right, screw tomorrow's situation, I'm not even going to care, and I'm going to put in Kirk Cousins in a decent matchup, tonight. Kirk Cousins, everybody loves him as a top 10 fantasy play today. To me, Corey, if I'm in an overall, I got to go for it all, and Corey, time out. I'm sorry. Let me back up for a second because what you did was you gave me an out there, and I didn't pick up on it. So you gave me an out because Teddy Bridgewater is playing at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Sunday night.
Exactly.
So you gave me an out. So without a doubt, I'm passing on Kirk Cousins for Drew Brees today, and I gotta hope and pray that I get the top, that top matchup, that top game versus the Jags tomorrow. Drew Brees plays. If he doesn't, well, hey, you know what? It sucks, but at least I have points coming in a pretty good matchup with Teddy Bridgewater, who's been playing okay the last couple of weeks. So I
Especially
wait on Drew Brees.
Adrian Peterson does not play, even though we do feel that Adrian Peterson is going to play tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another situation. How about Sunday Night Football, NBC, flexing that Vikings-Giants game to prime time and then maybe losing Odell Beckham and Adrian Peterson?
Can you imagine that? Real quick to flex that one, end up dropping the ball on that. Of course, you couldn't flex this weekend's night game, but definitely would have been interesting to see some of the other competition contests this week. Looks like Carlos Williams is going to play. At least he said he's going to play, and he will be the starting running back. I think that's a situation that you can have cleared up going into your week 16 is that you'll get a full healthy workload from Carlos Williams. Talked about Dez Bryant early. Oh, one last play I want to talk about. Well, a couple of last plays I want to talk about. I want to talk about a guy that helped you. If you're an Eddie Lacy owner, it's a good chance you're not playing this week anyway. But if you are an Eddie Lacy owner, I would be very, very skeptical playing Lacy this week, Chris.
Sure.
And
if
you are a Jordan Reed owner, it's a very good opportunity chance that you are playing today. Jordan Reed has been a godsend for fantasy owners this year. Of course, I don't have him. I didn't have him anywhere. And let me tell you something. It's not about the result. A lot of times it's about the decision. You cannot feel comfortable coming into the season relying on Jordan Reed. As a matter of fact, I was drafting the backup tight ends in Washington because Jordan Reed is a player that stays injured. But we always kind of figured if Jordan Reed was able to get out there and be healthy, he would be a dominant pick at the tight end position. And you saw a situation this year where he didn't have to worry about RG. He got Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
They took the reins on Cousins. And Cousins absolutely loves Jordan Reed. And Jordan Reed was one of the top players in fantasy. If you look at a most valuable player for fantasy this year, Jordan Reed definitely has to be in the top five of the conversation.
Without a doubt, and I love Jordan Reed, and I've been a Jordan Reed sucker for a while now, and I try and draft him on as many teams as I can get him, and these last couple of years burns me every time with the injuries and everything, and I say, I can't do it again, and then I go right back to him. I got him on a good handful of teams this year. I think we've talked about it in the past with Jordan. I have a couple Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed combination teams that, that qualify for the playoffs online, but they're out of it. But either way, Jordan Reed's a great pick. I think next year heading into fantasy drafts, he's a top three tight end. Offense with Kirk Cousins.
I guess you got to thank Gronk and somebody I'm missing. Obviously, it's not Jimmy Graham. It's Greg Olsen, Gronk and Olsen are the top two tight ends off the board, and I would think Jordan Reed comes in as the third tight end off the board.
I agree. And in this matchup tonight, I love both tight ends, Corey. I love Jordan Reed, and I think a guy that's coming on late here that you can rely on in tonight's game is Zach Ertz. So, good tight end game tonight, I expect, out of both of these teams. This game has a 27-24 feel to it, I think, tonight. There should be some points, some good stats for the players that, you know, people have going tonight in this game to get their fantasy championship week, underway.
My brother-in-law, the Philadelphia Eagle fan, after the New England Patriot game, he said, you know what, I'm done with this. The week before the Patriot game, I forgot which one of the Eagles' bad losses before they pulled off the miracle win versus New England. He bought his son tickets for WWE at Madison Square Garden. So tonight, when the Philadelphia Eagles will be trying to knock off Washington, he'll be at Madison Square Garden watching the stars of the world wrestling entertainment.
There you go. So he gave up on them already, and now he's going to be sneaking off during the Hulk Hogan match to see what the stars is on the TV. That's great.
You know, it's funny because I've had a similar situation also. Well, not really. It didn't really involve one of my teams. But I remember a few years, this may have been, I think my son might have been one. And we took him to the Globetrotters on a Saturday afternoon. And I remember sneaking off up to the concession stand. And I see Jeremy, as soon as I turn the corner, I see Jeremy Shockey and Brian Dawson laying in the end zone with Shockey hands on the ball, nodding his head. Brian Dawson's like, yeah, this is a touchdown. Yeah, I was in Madison Square Garden at the Harlem Globetrotters for that.
That's a long time ago, and that was one of the greatest games I can ever remember watching. That game was huge. That was the Giants and Eagles when they used to play in week 16, and actually week 15, 16, and 17. The NFL would have three games on a Saturday, and they would play an early Saturday.
Heisman Trophy was given out, and college football was done. So the NFL moved.
Yeah.
It's always been an NFC East game.
That's
played on a Saturday. One of those last Saturdays.
I wish they would bring that back, because they would have the Saturday 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 8 o'clock Saturday game, and that Giants-Eagles game was for the NFC East Championship. It was like the last week of the season. And you're right. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to jump the gun, but I think the final was 10-7. It was a low-scoring game, and Shockey caught that ball in the corner of the end zone late in the fourth quarter, and the Giants won the game and went to the playoffs with that game. One of the best games I can remember watching.
Yeah, no doubt. I was at Madison Square Garden. I'm talking about, I'm at MSG, Harlem Globetrotters, and I'm like, look at the scoreboard, and I'm like, ma'am, can you watch my one-year-old son? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I went to the concession stand to get him some popcorn, and I'm sitting up there. And as soon as I turn the corner, all the Giants fans left quick. I'm like, yeah! And I look up, and it's Jeremy Shockey holding on to the football. So another great MSG story from Saturday. My brother-in-law will probably be in the same situation tonight as he looks to see what's going to take place between Philadelphia and Washington. And Washington is notorious for knocking off Philadelphia late in the season, as we talked about earlier. Maybe this is the year where Philadelphia turns the table and one up Washington in a big NFC East matchup going down the stretch. Coming to this one, don't really have much time to go game by game, Chris, to get into the action. I think at this part of the season, if you're playing, you kind of pretty much set in stone with your lineup. I think we've touched on some of the key players going into Week 16, the Drew Brees situation, and, of course, trying to replace Odell Beckham Jr. But he's spinning ahead and looking forward to next season, of course. It all starts with free agency. Really, it doesn't really start with free agency. It's also Black Monday. It's also Black Monday when you see the downing and the firing of the head coach in the NFL. And I think that's where you're going to really start to begin to shape your fantasy football strategy for the next couple of years. Of course, we talked about Tom Coughlin's situation in New York. And, of course, there's also a good chance that Sean Payton, I think, ends up someplace else coaching a different team next year. And Jeff Fisher, a guy who I've always thought was an excellent head coach. I think he might have been an excellent head coach in a different era because he's not getting it done right now.
No, and I mean, it just goes to show you, Corey, it's tough to win in the NFL without a quarterback. And this guy hasn't had a quarterback in a while. So, you know, I don't know if it's him or if it's just the lack of, you know, a good quarterback. But you're not going far with Nick Foles and Case Keenum and whoever, but tough situation. But, you know, Corey, what do you think about Charkhandrick West while we just jump on a couple players here this week?
Interesting.
He's a guy
that
carried through championships.
Not only that, you can't keep the championship this year. It's a great matchup this week. When you spin it forward to 2016, you really have to look at this situation and, listen, I'm a guy that loves Jamal Charles. I try to get Jamal. I don't really draft running backs early. But if Jamal Charles is there, it's a good chance I'm going to take him unless one of my top dog receivers are there. I was drafting Charles over guys like Demaryius Thomas, Odell Beckham, Calvin Johnson this year. And Charles was a phenomenal number. But now it's starting to look like anybody you put in the backfield in in Kansas City can put up those big numbers. And I don't think Jamal Charles is a top fantasy back no more, coming off his second ACL tear, not to mention now he's got somebody in the backfield who can almost do the job just as good as him.
Yeah, I mean, you won't see him in the first round next year, Corey, coming off of this injury for sure. I don't know what his timetable is to come back, but you're right. You know, you see that with a lot of these teams. You know, the starter goes down, the backup that, you know, doesn't have a big name comes in and produces the same type of numbers. Look at, you know, you won't see Matt Forte in Chicago next year either. Like, Langford came in and put up
huge
numbers. And it'll be interesting to see where a guy like Langford goes in fantasy drafts next year too, because – we've got a taste of him for a month this year. We saw the big numbers. Now, can he sustain that week in and week out? Guys like that, the running back position is going to be really tough to draft next year in fantasy drafts because there's going to be a lot of guys that we've seen a little bit, and where do you place them, and do you trust them? And the running back position will be all over the place next year in fantasy drafts. That's why most people, I'm sure, will go, you know, to the new school way of drafting, you know, of just get me my stud receivers that I know are, you know, that I've seen and do it time after time. Give me them, and then I'll take my chances on different running backs. So I think that'll be the strategy going into next year, which is going to make it difficult for people like me and you that have always drafted like that.
Now, you look at the situation where – this year, if I'd have told you on August 26th that going into week 16, your optimal lineup could have been Cam Newton, David Johnson, give me Charkhandrick West, Antonio Brown, Doug Baldwin, Jordan Reed, give me a wide receiver three type that you can throw in there right now. Eric Decker. Perfect. Eric Decker. I mean, this is a championship winning lineup. You're like, well, where is Jamal Charles? Where is Calvin Johnson? Where is Dez Bryant? Where is Rob Gronkowski even? You're talking about this right here was a wake-up call, really, maybe even to the NFL. Like I said, like we talked about last week, and I looked and checked the standings today, 21 teams in this league have record of 500 or worse.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And I'll give you one more than that. You're throwing out that lineup and everything. Look at the running backs that are hot right now going into this Week 16 championship team. The lineups you want, I mean, Bilal Powell and James White are two running backs that are like top 15 running backs that you want in your lineup. They're the ones giving you that consistent 15 to 20 points, and they're startable. They're not only startable, they're in people's lineups. And that's kind of what you want. You want the PPR running backs. I'll tell you one crazy. I told you about the team that's in second overall for the $150,000, and he has a quarterback situation. Do you know that the team that's leading it right now and has a decent lead going into the final week, he had Mark Ingram and Jonathan Stewart, who both had good seasons, as his two running backs. Okay, he lost both of them in this playoff run. Last week, he started Jeremy Langford and Bilal Powell as his two running backs.
And then
imagine that.
It's crazy. 30 seconds left to go on the program, Chris. The last month of the season, only one running back has scored more points in the PPR than Bilal Powell, and that's David Johnson.
And those are the two. That's a dream twosome right now going into championship week, Johnson and Powell. Crazy.
There you go right there. 10 seconds left to go back in the program. Good luck this week in your championship week. Thanks for rocking with the takeover. We'll be back before the season's end.
Peace.